But something's happened to America, the America I grew up in. And as a pastor, I prayed and prayed for God to help me to see, just to get an idea what in the world was going on. And I think he gave me a partial answer. I don't know it's all inclusive, but I believe I've seen something transpire in America in the years that, even before I was saved as a young man. Amen. But in John chapter 8, let's begin here looking in verse number 31 and 32 as an introduction. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let's pray. Dear Father, we come before your throne of grace anticipating your help today. Certainly asking you for that to strengthen us, to speak to our hearts, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. And so we're asking for your guidance and direction today. May you in all things be glorified and honored, I pray. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, as I began to ponder this, the truth will make you free. And as a pastor, I remember reading in the Sword of the Lord how they could start a church and a year later they'd have built a building, you know. And I don't know if that's true or not. It didn't matter to me. But I did have a friend that was an evangelist, Ken Love. And for years, he started churches. And he would go into town, rent a house, start a Bible study. And in a year and a half, build a building and call a man in to pastor it and then go on and do it again. He did that for years. Amen. But come in the 80s, he had to change his work. He started going into churches that were closing and reopening them and pastoring those. And he found that you couldn't rent a house and have people start a church. People wouldn't come in a house. They wanted a church building. Amen. They wanted all the nice, what do you have to give our kids? Amen. Well, I can tell you folks got a lot to give kids. Praise God for that. Amen. But not everyone does. You know what I mean? So the concern was there. Father, what has happened to America? And you see it today. You'd have to be blind not to. Something's really changed in our country. Amen. And it's kind of a funny place to see what all is going on. Funny in one way of speaking, I guess you would say. But I believe I've seen a reason for at least part of this, and I hope it'll be a help to you. It makes me think of Israel, and turn with me to 2 Kings 22 real quick here, if you would. 2 Kings in chapter 22. In 2 Kings 22, we see the story of Josiah. This is the king that was prophesied over 400 years before he came on the scene. And he was made king as a child, a young child. But he had a burden as he grew older to reestablish worship of Jehovah that had been set aside for pagan worship. And the house of God at that time had been closed up and had fell in disrepair. And he was 8 years old, according to verse number 1, when he started. But in verse 3, it says, "It came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought in the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And let him deliver it in the hands of the doers of the work," amen, "that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work, which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house." You know, God's always had those that do the work, amen. And ministry and work is work. But what I want you to see is he had a burden as a 26-year-old man to reestablish worship. So they took a chest and bore a hole in it and started taking offerings to be able to finance the repair of the house of the Lord. And as they received that silver, they would give it to the doers of the work, and they did the work. And something transpired that was insightful to me down in verse number 8. And in verse number 8, the Bible says, Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law. Now, think of this. The book of the law was the most important book to the Jews there ever was.
Right.
Amen? This is the day the Bible was the law. And they said, I found it. Well, how'd you lose it?
Right.
I mean, you found the book of the law? That's scary, isn't it? And it says, in the house of the Lord, and Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And then the next verse, down in verse number 10, you begin to see a little hint of how this happened. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. It went from being the book to being a book.
Right.
Amen? And he goes on, and Shaphan read it for the king. And of course, the king repented because he saw how Israel had failed. And he repented of that, and the story is there to see. You see, the Word of God has always been the measure. Everything you know about salvation and Christ, you know because of the Bible.
Right. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
And everything you know is because of the Bible. Now, if you take two verses and make an assumption to tie them together, that's okay. Amen. But just remember that middle part is an assumption. Amen. But everything you know about God, you know because of that book. Amen.
Yes.
If it's not the Word of God, we should close up shop and just and go fishing. Unless you ladies don't want to fish. Amen.
Amen.
No. No, it is the Word of God, I'm glad to say. John 12, verses 47, 48 say this. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me, now here's it, notice this, and receiveth not my words. Jesus speaking here says, the way they go to hell is when they reject his word. That's how a person goes to hell. Hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So not only is the book there for that, but it's going to be the judge of the lost. The word of God, the book, amen? And yet they lost it. It amazes me, amen? Amen? And I alluded to the parable of the sower earlier in Sunday school, but in Luke 8, 15, the Bible says, but that on good ground, or they which, meaning the seed, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Having heard the word, keep it. Isn't that what we're looking for, people to hear the word and keep it?
Yes.
I mean, I've given the word, and I know when I was giving them the gospel, they're thinking of an answer to give, or there's some way to get me off their doorstep, amen? And that's okay. As long as I can leave some material with them, I've been successful. They're not going to receive it. Amen? But still, the point of the matter is, the key is receiving his word. That means opening your heart to it. He said, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Understanding is to wisdom what works are to faith, according to James. Amen? Because faith without works. And wisdom without understanding is empty. Understanding is a vehicle to put wisdom into motion. And understanding is not human. It's divine. Given to you and I by God.
Amen.
The entrance of his word giveth light. It giveth understanding the simple. So, when you take someone to the gospel and show them that Christ died for their sins according to the scripture, he was buried, and the third day rose again according to the scriptures, they receive it or they reject it. Why did he do that? Romans 6 says he died so you could die spiritually and rise again with him. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Oh, I become perfect. No, because you still retain that dirty old man on the inside. Can I say it that way? I hope so. Amen. You know what I mean. That sinner on the inside, still there battling with you. Amen?
Yes.
But now you have a way to battle. Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing. I always say this when this is there because it's my best example. My wife was talking to me one time, and I was doing something else, And she stopped partway through and said, "Did you hear what I said?" Now, I'm a husband, and so I begin piecing things together. This statement, that, you know what I mean? And try to give a plausible answer. I failed. I had a lady tell me after I said that one time, say, "You lied." I said, "I'm a husband. I'm trying to save my skin." Amen. It didn't work. Amen. Why? Well, I heard her voice, you know, but it just wasn't getting in my brain. Somebody said we have one track brains. I'm a half a track short. So I didn't get it all. Hearing doesn't mean just hearing words. It means receiving them in your heart, opening your heart. Amen. And if a person doesn't open their heart, not only will they not get saved, the Bible says, "He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." That name is Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. America is following in the footsteps of Solomon. Amen. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 through 30, you remember Israel wanted to have a king. And they told Samuel, "We want a king like everybody around us." And Samuel was said, "That's not good. You..." It, basically, what he was saying is, you have a leader called God, and he tells me, and I tell you, no, we want an earthly king. And so God put some perimeters around the king. But here it says, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much largeness of heart. I mean, the wisest man that ever lived was Solomon. Amen? Because God gave him wisdom. So much so, the Queen of Sheba was overwhelmed by Solomon's person when she said in 1 Kings 10, verse 7 and 8, "Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, and half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom." In other words, what she's saying is, your slaves are happy because they get to hear your wisdom. She was set by it. But the Lord had put a perimeter on the kings. Three things, basically. Amen? Now, these three things are found in Deuteronomy 17. Turn there with me, if you would, if you have a Bible and can. Deuteronomy, in chapter number 17. Amen. Deuteronomy 17. Now, these three things were given as a test for the king to be symptoms. You know, you go to a doctor and he says, "What are your symptoms?" You know, you have this, you have that. And then they prescribe you some kind of pill to fix it, which fights your other pills, which makes you sicker than you were before. But they're symptoms, amen? Here in verse number 16, "But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold." Amen. Three categories. And three categories of his failure. Now, you stay here. I'm going to leaf back to 1 Kings. Let me get back there. 1 Kings chapter 11, unless you want to go back there. You can help yourself. I'll allow you. Amen. All right. Let me get there. All right. One other thing with old hands is they don't work so hot all the time. Here we go. 1 Kings 11. In verse 1, "King Solomon loved many strange women. The wisest man that ever lived had 700 wives." That means he had 700 mother-in-laws. And 300 concubines. If I had one, I'd be dead today. 700 wives. Can you imagine the birthdays? Anniversaries? Names. Amen. The wisest man that ever lived. It goes on, it says, many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh. Women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. The very nations God was going to have them conquer because they had committed such vulgar sin that God was going to destroy them. Amen? And he had wives from those places. Not only that, but he wasn't to go back into Egypt for horses, but he went there to get his main, what do you call her? His number one wife or wife A? I don't know, but that's his most important one, I guess. Amen. It goes on, says, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their God. Solomon clave to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. It says in 2 Chronicles 9, verse 27 and 28, the king made silver in Jerusalem of stones, cedar trees made of sycamore trees and are in the low plains in abundance, and they brought unto Solomon horses out of Egypt, out of all lands. What was the symptoms? Don't gather wives, don't gather horses out of Egypt, don't gather silver and gold. He did all three, but that's just symptoms. That isn't the problem. Amen? The problem is what I see in America. We've lost something. And I believe that's found. See, in Deuteronomy 17, this time down in verse number 18, please. Deuteronomy 17, 18, here it is. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. So every king was supposed to write a copy of the law as it pertained to that day, handwritten copy. And it shall be with him, verse 19, he shall read therein all the days of his life. I'll stop there for a moment. So the king was to write a handwritten copy of the law, of the Bible at that time, and read in there every single day. But why? Well, it tells us why right here at the end of verse 19. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God. That tells me that we don't naturally fear God. And we're going to look at the Bible definition of fear in a moment. But we don't naturally fear God even when we're saved. We have to learn to fear God. And we learn to fear God as we read and study his word and where it's preached. And the fear of God will keep you on the straight and narrow. God has made our life like a highway with rails on both sides to protect us from going off into the deep. Amen? Our goal is to stay on the center line, but we truly waver from time to time because we're human beings. Amen? But that guardrail is there to protect you from going over. Amen? But how many Christians are falling over that and falling away? Isn't that a sad thing? The fear of the Lord will cause you to stay on that center line. Amen? And someday, when you stand before him, hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Proverbs 8:13. If you keep your place there in Deuteronomy. Proverbs 8:13. Here is the Bible. I think the Bible's its best dictionary there is. Amen. And if God says this is fear, this is it. Is it being afraid of God? No, not that. Here's what it says here, very simply. Proverbs 8:13, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is to one, hate evil. Hate pride. Hate arrogancy. And the evil way and the froward mouth or willful mouth do I hate. That's the fear of the Lord. To hate evil, pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and the willful mouth. That's what fear of the Lord is. That'll keep you from those sins which are prominent in us human beings. If you don't think you're a proponent to evil, think of what blazes through your mind once in a while that even shocks you. Now, don't anybody say anything, so everybody will know. But you blaze things through your mind like I do, and they shock you, and you've got to say, Father, I reject that. I plead the blood, cleanse my... Amen? Yep. Amen. And if you got saved later, and life's even worse, Because all those old things come back. If it's not bad enough, you'll go in somewhere to eat and they'll play music from back then. You'll find yourself trying to get that out of your brain.
Right.
The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Psalm 130, verse 4, the Bible says, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. We are to fear the Lord. It's not to be afraid of him only. Surely we know his power, his immense power, but we also know his grace and mercy. Amen. Do you think he wants you to be happy? Yes. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to live a life. And here's two reasons. One's for your benefit. The other is for theirs. Because he wants them to see something in you that they need.
Right.
Amen. So they come and listen, they may hate you at work, but let one of their kids get sick and they'll come sneak up to you and say, would you pray for my child? That's because they know it. They see it. You think the lost are stupid? They're not really stupid. They see it when you love the Lord. They know that the saved life is the best life. They just don't want to give up the other things. Give up the other things. You know, I've never had so much fun as when I got saved. And I could have fun and remember what I said the day before. Amen? Our Lord came to cultivate fear in us. Now here's what I mean by that. Romans 3, 10 and 18 say this part. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's no fear of God before their eyes. He wants us to have fear. But the lost are blind. They can't see. They don't understand. You witness to them and it does nothing to them. They just want to get away because they want what they have. Amen? But if they stop for a minute, like me as a truck driver back years ago when I'd find those gospel tracts and I'd read them, I just thought it was too easy. It seemed too easy. You got to do something, pay a price, right? It took a year and a half till God showed me. No, it's not too easy, but it is repentance. Repentance is the key. It's a changed mind. I had to see myself as God saw me, a lost sinner. And when I saw that, then I was happy to go to him and ask forgiveness. Amen. And you know what he did? He forgave me. And I've been forgiven now 45 years. And I'm forgiven for good. Amen? You say, are you afraid to die? No, I'm not getting on the train today, but I'm not afraid to die. Because I don't know what it's like. Plus, I don't know how I'll die. I'd just soon not die in a head-on collision. Amen? Maybe sleep and wake up in heaven. That'd be nice. Amen? But I don't want, well, there's too many other ways. I'm not going to even list them. Amen? Our relationship with God is based upon our acknowledging his superiority, his rule over our lives. Amen?
Yes.
Is there something about Christian life you don't like? That's because you're in the flesh, not walking by faith. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Amen? We all want what we want. You want the music you shouldn't have, the shows you shouldn't watch. Amen?
Yep.
Now, I'm your best friend because I'll be leaving this afternoon and I won't be back. Amen? But that's the truth, isn't it?
Yes.
We all want that.
Yes.
Y'all think about it. Boy, I'd kind of like to see that show. Well, you have to, amen? Close your eyes or something during it. It's bad, but that's human nature, I'm afraid. Psalm 119, verse 38, the Bible says, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. God will give you what you need if you'll yield to him, and he'll strengthen you. And you know where you get it? That book. Amen? Can you see what it would be like to be saved and not have a Bible? Some of the hill country they go into in South America, The Indian churches there, the Indians, the only person who owned a Bible was the pastor. And we have pictures of the whole church holding up their own copy of the Bible, tears in their eyes. Amen? Well, it's a great thing, isn't it? Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, it's a blessing to see that. I heard a story about a pastor in the former Soviet Union, pastored a church 5 years with one page of the Bible. And I was saying that down in Porter, Texas, and there's a man there, Brother Martin. He's got a scripture shipping ministry, and he's a missionary son. He came up to me and said, I met him. I said, you did? He said, yeah, and he gave me that page. It's all wrapped in plastic. Romans 3 and 4. 5 years he preached on Romans 3 and 4. Never ran out of text. Is that amazing? My first thought was, I wonder how long the service was when he got a whole Bible. Whew, Lord, preacher, that'd be a long one, wouldn't it? I heard where they would take, a pastor took, and he cut the binding of the Bible and separated pages, and the members would come in and trade the page for the next page every week and go home and read it. And God has given you not one, but several. And I'm not going to get you on you for having several Bibles. That's nothing wrong with that. Amen? We all got several Bibles. For a while, I was a Bible connoisseur. I mean, amen? Just something about that new Bible smell. Amen? But as I know it's a lot of money goes. I understand that. Amen. But I don't buy guns. I already told you I don't want them in there with my wife. Amen. What else are you going to buy? Bibles, I guess. Amen. But the Bible is the key. That's why we do what we do. But America, when they lost the word, they lost the fear of God. I can remember in the early days, going house to house, when you'd say I was from the church, it would get quiet. There'd be kind of a respect there, even for lost people. Amen? But soon, as when I was getting toward the end of the time of my pastor, and that was done, it was gone. You know? They didn't care who you were. I used to, at work and things, if somebody cursed, they'd say, oh, preacher, I'm sorry. I know. Yeah, I'm sorry. They stopped saying I'm sorry. They don't care anymore. When I was a young man, before I got saved, I'd never say a bad word around ladies. I wouldn't do that, amen? Around the guys, maybe, not around ladies. Now it's women doing it in Walmart. You got to cover your ears. You know what's happened to America? When they brought out those their translations in the late 1800s, it began a process, and America has lost their fear of God because they lost his word. Amen? Yes. Amen. Now, we can't chide lost people for it. Amen? And we can't say everybody that has different Bibles is saved or not. I can't look on their heart. But I know we who believe this is the Word of God better start letting our light shine to help others get saved. Amen? But first, we must make sure we fear God. We hate evil, arrogancy, all those things. Amen? And that will lift up your church and you, because God wants you to be happy. He's not up there waiting to slam you. He's not saying I'm aggravated and I'm looking for somebody to womp. That's not God. Amen? He wants you not only to be happy, but he wants you to be a magnet drawing those people toward Christ. Amen? If you're here today and you're not saved, I got good news for you. You can be saved today. Amen. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's a confession from the heart. And if you're willing to see, I'm a sinner, I believe my sins would send me to hell, but Christ came and died in my place, paid my sin debt, I'll receive him as my Savior, you'll leave this building saved. I questioned that for a while. It's too easy. No. Took a year and a half for me to do it. That's not too easy. Amen. And I tell you, he had me scared to death. I'd wake up in the middle of the night. What would happen if I died? Well, I'm glad God did that. Amen. And I'm glad I'm saved. And if you're here today and you're not, don't leave this building that way. Let someone take a Bible and show you. They'd love to. Amen. So I'd be embarrassed. Why? Everybody'd love it. Yes. Amen? Amen? Yes, sir. And if you're here and you're a member of this church and you're not saved, you say, can that happen? Yeah. It could happen. You want to see people rejoice, you come forward and receive Christ. But either way, if you're here and you're saved, are you cultivating the fear of the Lord by reading, studying His Word, and being faithful to God's house? Amen? So let's pray. Father, we love You today and thank You for Your Word. And I pray as the pastor comes, You give him wisdom in closing out the service. But if there's somebody here that's not saved, God, please, may this be the day they come and receive Christ as their Savior. And if we have been a little lax in our study of God's Word and reading God's Word, I pray this will be the day that we repent of that and call upon You to help us and strengthen us through Your Word. Now bless the service, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.